All right, well, go ahead now.
Bill, you have a couple of linebackers in Mayo and Spikes that I think kind of have, for lack of a better word, different football personalities. Mayo's kind of the make a tackle, walk back to the huddle next play. Spikes likes to celebrate. Is there a value in having those different types of personalities on a defense as you build the defense?
Well, I mean, I really think we have 53 different personalities on the team, you know, and that's probably a good thing. You know, I don't want them all to be the same, or, but they just have to, you know, blend in and respect each other. So, you know, we all have our own personalities, and like I said, I think that's great for the team as long as there's mutual respect and you know, it's done in a respectful way and within the team context. So I don't try to shape or judge anybody else's personality. They are who they are.
Is there more so a spot on that on defense for that in terms of the energy? And
I don't know. Like I said, I think different people have different styles, playing styles, and emotional levels, and all that kind of thing. And you know, I think just it's a blend of those personalities into your team, and that's what creates that team. And each team's different, unique. It's made up of different people every year, and some personalities are at it, some aren't there, and they mesh slightly or maybe sometimes not so slightly differently, and that creates the personality of your entire team. So I don't think there's any like science to it, and I don't think that's not anything I've ever tried to create. Like, oh, we need this kind of personality on the team, or oh, we don't want that kind of personality on the team. They can blend together and be part of the team and do their job and be productive, then you know, then that just affects the personality of that group of players. I don't think it's a bad thing.
Do you have a favorite all-time celebration, post-play celebration?
probably the ones at the end of a couple games, you know. End of the Super Bowl celebrations, those are good.
Is that big of a deal?
Well, I mean, I think practice is practice. So there are always mistakes in practice that need to be corrected. There are things that we put in on the game plan that we, you know, go out there and do. Some look better than others, and then you adjust them and try to fix the ones that sometimes it's the look on the other side of the ball, sometimes it's our execution, and sometimes those plays hit differently in the game. What you work on them in practice against and what you actually see in the game can be two different things, so... I think the big thing is go out there and to be prepared, be alert, and, you know, for the players to do their best on each play, and then if it doesn't work out, then we correct it and try to, or sometimes adjust it. Sometimes we have to change it. It's not designed properly and needs to be adjusted. So that's what practices for. I don't know about the whole good practice, bad practice thing. I don't know.
Would you say it's more accurate to say productive practice, Bill? Like, can you... gauge when it's been a productive week of practice?
Again, that can be misleading. You know, as a coach, you can script a practice to be as hard or difficult as, or as easy or difficult as you want it to be, really. And yeah, it could look great, but that may not be the way it is a game. It could look bad, and it could be great in the game. So, I don't know. I mean, I do think there's a correlation to improving in practice, both individually, fundamentally, and as a unit, the overall execution, timing, and that type of thing. But how that transfers over into the game, you know, you never know until Sunday.
How's Winslow's adjustment been, and do you think he'll be ready to play on Sunday?
I think we'll see. I think we'll get a good indication today. You know, we've thrown a lot at him last couple of days. Today's kind of the day we go back and try to tie it all up together and review it and see how comfortable and you know, how well he's retained things and all that. But, I mean, he's a pretty experienced guy. He's smart. He's had a lot of, football. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But I think there's a chance that he could help us.
When you bring in new receivers, Kellen, maybe Brandon before, do you assume that there's going to need to be some time for them to develop some chemistry with Tom? And what can you do to sort of facilitate that?
Well, I think the more time the players spend together, the better. So, eight games is better than one game. 3 days is better than one day. I mean, you can go right down the line. So you try to get the most you can out of each day, each opportunity. And anytime you bring in a person for that game week, I think the main thing you want to try to do is make sure that person's ready for the game plan that you're running. So there may be things that in the playbook that you need to go over and all that, but they may not apply to this game. So how much time do you really want to spend on those, even though they're important and they're fundamental and they're building blocks? But if it's not something that's really going to be used in this particular game, then it's maybe something you want to catch up on later on. So we try to prioritize what the person needs as a foundation, and then what the person needs to go out and be able to play in the game in the role that we would ask him to play in. And then next week we would probably go back and add in some other things, and whatever the new game plan is, make sure that we cover that and try to accumulate it that way, rather than just, you know, try to teach the entire, you know, the entire book in one sitting and then say, well, we're only going to use 40% of it. We try to concentrate on that 40%. How long does it take? I don't know. Some guys it takes. Ryan Waters came in here last year and, you know, played in Miami game. So I don't know.
Bill, we've seen you guys take a couple shot plays with Lloyd in the first two games. I'm sure you guys practice it all the time in practice, but are those the type of plays where you can practice as much as you want with reps, but it's going to be different in the game with the different variables, adrenaline, things like that?
Well, I mean, I think really just about every play is different in the game. You try to simulate it in practice, but it's just different in the game. And I think the big thing for the quarterback and the receivers is just to be able to take advantage of those opportunities. You know, you call plenty of, I mean, almost, I won't say every play, but there are an awful lot of plays that have guys running deep, you know, post patterns, flag patterns, go routes, whatever it is, and you don't throw them on every play, but they're there on every play depending on what the coverage is and what the matchup is. The quarterback sees it and the receiver runs a good route, and, you know, then that's a good option. And if the coverage takes that part of it away, or they roll into that or whatever it is, then the quarterback reads the rest of his progression. So sometimes you can play the percentages and think that, okay, there's a pretty good chance we're going to get this pattern on this coverage, or if you run that pattern often enough, sooner or later you're going to get the coverage you're looking for, and you're going to take a shot at it. But there's also plenty of times where we go out and practice and run plays, and then we get in the game and we see something, and it takes us to that, and maybe we've practiced it, maybe we haven't. So, you know, there's, when you think about it, there's, you know, say you run 100 plays during the week in practice, you know, 35, 35, and 30, or, you know, whatever it is. And then you got goal line plays, and you got, you know, you got a lot of other plays that are situational plays in there. And then you think of all the different coverages a defense can play on third down, you know, on second down, on first down, in the red area. And, I mean, I understand they're only out there 60 plays too, but you've seen on film, you've seen them play, you know, 6-7 different sub coverages, a couple different blitzes. You've seen, you know, 6-7 regular coverages, 3-5 blitzes on that. You go into the game with whatever number of plays you have. I mean, the variables are just exponential. It's just so, you know, it's so difficult to really match up something unless you have a real strong tendency that they're going to do this when you give them a certain look or a certain situation. But I'd say that's like maybe 10% of the time. It's not a high probability. So you go out there and run your plays. You can't run them against all 10 different coverages that you could get in that situation. You run them against the ones you think are most likely, or maybe what their tendency is, or maybe what you think they'll do to you. But, you know, a lot of times it doesn't turn out that way, and then you have to adjust to it. So that's, you know, I'd say that's kind of the challenging part about, like, Mike, your question about practice and all that. That's, you know, as opposed to college where you know, you have a scout team go out there and you have the freshmen and you run maybe 60 plays in practice. Well, 70 plays in practice. Well, we're running half that. And that's, you know, it's just the different, you know, just the amount of execution that you get is different. So that's why training camp's important, building that base, building that consistency when you're going out there day after day and running 60, 70 plays in practice. Against your defense, so the number's higher. You're not running splitting them in half, you're getting plays on both sides of the ball, that those reps are really important to building technique and consistency and timing and understanding of the plays and all that. So, but it's definitely different in the game. There's no question.
Bill, can you talk a little bit about preparing, going up against a run defense, and is there any different this week in how you prepare for it?
You mean the Ravens compared to the Ravens, or the Ravens compared to another defense we played? Oh, well, of course, they're all different. Yeah, the Ravens have different players, and they have their own unique scheme like everybody else does. They're a very good technique team. They play well with their hands. They recognize blocks well. The linebackers are – it's hard to fool, especially Lewis, but, I mean, all of them, they're disciplined. They don't give up a lot of easy plays. You got to block them. You know, they don't run themselves out of a lot of plays. They make you block them, and you gotta do a good job. You've gotta have good pad level, good technique. You have to finish your blocks. They're a good tackling team, so they're not easy to run the ball against.
This will be the sixth meeting between the teams in the last 6 years. What stands out to you from those games, basically, when the two teams get together?
Been a lot of close, hard fought games. I mean, going back to 07, last possession. I mean, really, all those games have come down to last possession, except the playoff game there in 2010. But all those other games were basically the last play, really. Not even the last possession. It's pretty much the last play. Very competitive games. So had the last four of them here. So, you know, we haven't been down there in a while. So that'll make this one a little different from the last few. But that all evens out in the long run. So,
Bill, what's your reaction to Ray Horton saying that he thought he could see your plays coming offensively this last week?
Yeah, we're on to Baltimore.
What are some of your memories from that first season you had down there with the Colts?
it's a little different. We went to camp July 5th. The first game was September 21st, I think. So six preseason games, three scrimmages against the Redskins. It was a whole 2.5 months of training camp, basically, before we even played a game. It was a long, long preseason. Squads were small, so... I snapped a lot as the to help the timing for the offense, passing 7-on-7, one on one drills, things like that. It's a great experience with Coach Marchabrota and Maxie Bond, the rest of the defensive staff, George Bissell's special teams coach. So I learned an awful lot. I mean, I didn't know anything. I was just thrown into an environment where I think there was only seven coaches. There was seven coaches on the staff, three on offense, three on defense, and one on special teams. And so I was like the eighth guy. I mean, I didn't know anything, but at least I was a warm body. So I got thrown a lot of responsibility and opportunity to do things that had there been a bigger staff, I would have never gotten to do. So that was a great opportunity for me. And we started out 1-4, playing in front of 20,000 people there in Memorial Stadium. And then we started winning, and Burt Jones had a tremendous year. We had a real good defense. The front four there of, Cook Ehrman, Mike Barnes, and John Dutton, and they had 50-some sacks that year or whatever it was. And then we won the last nine games, so we went from 1-4 to the 10-4, went from playing – from 20,000 to whatever that holds, 60-some. So that was pretty exciting. Lost to Pittsburgh in the playoff game. They eventually won the Super Bowl. Started training camp off at Goucher College, and we were there until the 1st of September. Then we went from Goucher College to McDonough School and practiced out in the pasture there. That was crazy. Then we were there for a couple of weeks. Then finally the Orioles finished up. They were in the World Series that year, I think. So we didn't even get to Memorial Stadium until around the 1st of October. Of course, at that point, the whole infield was still down. So they resodded that, so we only practiced on half the field, so we had about 40 yards to practice on. That wore out pretty quickly, so then we would go across the street to Eastern High School and practice, so the whole team walks out of Memorial Stadium, hit the walk button, go across 33rd Street, walk over to Eastern High School, which is two blades of grass and, you know, dirt, glass, rocks. I mean, it's inner city football field, practice field, about what you'd expect. You know, filming from like a stepladder. I mean, it was so, but you know, it worked, and team gained a lot of confidence. Started slow, gained a lot of confidence, and came together. And I mean, I was really a good football team. And Bert Jones was a great quarterback, and continued to be until he hurt his shoulder. And there's no telling how good that guy would have been if he had had a full career. He probably could have been up there with anybody I've been around, certainly. So it was. I learned a lot. I learned a lot. Didn't put a lot of money in the bank, but in terms of experience, I did, but not actual cash. But it was a fun year.
Well, you have to know Steve Sabol, I assume. A few thoughts on his passing this week.
There's not many people that I think have done more for the NFL or more for football than Steve has. And he was a great friend. I love to say my favorite memories of Steve were going to the owners' meetings, sitting around and just, you know, talking. Steve was a great storyteller, and both on film and in person. And he had a great appreciation for the game, the history of the game, the people. And the past, really, as well as the present. But you know, he had a great memory and great experiences in the past, and so you know, I just love to talk to him about just talking about football. He was really special. I think it's hard these days to find somebody like Steve that it was never about him. It was always about the game. It was about the entertainment. All the things he did, I don't think he ever really made anybody look bad. You know, that wasn't the point, even though we all had some bad moments, you know, with fumbles and, you know, whatever. But it was, you're sort of able to laugh at yourself the way he presented it. It seemed like every time he did something, he kind of walked out of there with either a smile on your face or a great appreciation for what he showed and his ability to get to show a close, unique look at the game that so many of us never saw until he presented it, or the way he presented it. So I'll miss Steve. It's really special. And job he's done at NFL Films the recognition he's gotten, he certainly deserves. And a really special guy. Okay. All right.